How great is our God is a statement, but it's also a question for us, is it not? How great is God in your estimation, in your perception, in your daily walk with the Lord? Well, we're excited to have Ben and Jen, who think that God is great. And that's one of the reasons they have followed him in obedience to two continents now, bringing their little children with them, not so little anymore, to Africa the last 11 years, Thailand. Many of you know them. Many of you may not. So come on up, Ben and Jen. They're going to share about their ministry, and then Ben's going to bring us a word from the Lord. So before I give you the mic, that's good. The eagerness is good. I usually pray for missionaries after they share, but I won't interrupt the flow there. So let me pray first of all here. Father, we thank you for this family, for their taking steps of faith to obey you. There's a simplicity in that, but it's led them to do wonderful things, and we've been blessed as a result. Just to hear highlights, and some have entered it more deeply into a partnership with them over the years. And so thank you for the rest that they're, hopefully some rest have been given this summer for the update and for the word that you've laid on Ben's heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Is it okay if I use this stand?
Okay. All right. No worries.
Oh, good. I like that little clicker. That's pretty good. I don't have to keep telling somebody to change the slide. So just an introduction for those who haven't met us. We're Ben and Jen Wood. We have been missionaries in Thailand for the last 11 years. We serve with Zoe International and then Grace International School. This church has partnered with us that whole time, so thank you. For those who want to know, just quick update about our children. So our son Isaiah has now been graduated from college for a year, and he works down near the Madison area. He's working for a construction company in IT and then works at a board game store. Our daughter Adeline will be a senior at Wheaton College this year. And then our other daughter Haley is transferring to Kuiper College in Michigan. She'll be a sophomore. And then our youngest is still with us in Thailand. She's going to be a senior in high school this year. And no one was able to come with us on this trip. I know. I'm sorry. We always like. Actually, our children love coming to Viroqua, so so they were bummed too. But they're all working right now over the summer. So we just want to start as we get into it today, just with a really, just make sure you hear the word thank you. This church has always been so good to us. Financially, prayerfully, and with friendship. And we just can't thank you enough. We love what God has called us to do. We love having the opportunity to serve him wherever he calls us, but in Thailand right now. And that's because of, you know, partnerships with churches like you guys. And so we really need to say thank you, and we'll probably say it more as I keep speaking. And what we're going to share today, the little bit we're going to share, our update, we are such a believer in the body of Christ, right? And so we're not sharing what we do, like Jen and I do. We're sharing what God is doing through us and through you guys as our partnership, you know, that we're a part of this together. So we're really just going to spend time reflecting on what God has been doing in Thailand the last year. So let's open in prayer. I like when we all pray. So if you're willing, if you could pray for the people around you, just for 30 seconds, just go ahead and pray that God speaks to them this morning and that God opens their heart to something. And then I'll close this in a minute. So go ahead and pray. Even if you know them, you're allowed to touch them. If you don't know them, don't touch them. But if you know them, you can lay your hand on them and pray for them. So go ahead and pray for each other. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you so much for this church and their heart for you, their heart to see people reached for you. I pray this morning as we reflect on what you're doing in Thailand, Lord, that inspires us, it encourages us, it challenges us, and then we all grow closer to you. So we just thank you and praise you. Amen. So we're going to start by Jen. She's going to come up and she's going to share just a quick update on her ministry at Grace International School.
Thanks.
That's that middle button.
Got it. All right. Good morning, church. As Ben said, we are kind of a dual ministry family, so we both work at Zoe International, and then I teach kindergarten at Grace International School, and I'm a volunteer kindergarten teacher there, which means that when I sign my contract every year, I agree to donate my salary back to the school, and that keeps tuition costs low for the families we serve. Grace International School has been in Chiang Mai since 1999, and our goal has always been to provide for the educational needs of the children we serve, and then to equip our students to meet, to reach the world for Jesus. So this is a view of our campus. We've moved into this campus in 2019, and it was a huge answer to prayer. As the needs of our community grows, so do the needs of our campus. We just added a middle school building 2 years ago. We're working on a fine arts auditorium, and we just finished our Tiger Fieldhouse. So, yeah, it's been a huge blessing to work there, and also all of our children have gone to school there. I'm a volunteer kindergarten teacher, so these are my students, and one of my favorite things every year is to introduce my tropical babies to snow. So we go to the zoo, and they have an indoor snow dome, and we just play in the snow and go sledding for the day, so it's really, really exciting. We have 592 students in grades kindergarten through 12th. Those kids come to us from over 22 different nations, and 90% of them are missionary kids. The families we serve are reaching out and serving in over 40 different countries in Southeast Asia, Europe, Africa, Asia, or Australia, all over that part of the world, and that is able, it provides, or those people we serve are preaching the gospel to over millions of people. So Chiang Mai is a strategic city in Southeast Asia. A lot of missions organizations have put their main offices in Chiang Mai because we are a 2 to 3 hour flight from 75% of the world's unreached people groups. And so it's a really strategic place for them to raise their children and work out of. And I have the privilege, along with the other staff at school, to serve those families. We thank you for your support and allowing us to do what we love. So,
good job.
Thanks.
I feel like it's a visual downer that we switch from her to me, but I, you know. Sorry, guys. So now I'm going to spend a little time sharing about the last year with Zoe International. So Zoe exists for two main purposes. One, to reach the world with the gospel, those who have never heard. And then second, to rescue children from human trafficking and care for those children. This past year, we were able to do 26 gospel outreaches all over Thailand, and preach the gospel to over 3,600 people at those outreaches, and 1,577 accepted Jesus. And I want to stop. I'm not naturally a numbers person. And so you hear that number, and it's just a number. But if you think that each one of those single person, they wake up today knowing why they were made, knowing the purpose of being here, having hope for tomorrow. It's just an incredible gift to be able to go and share the gospel with people for the first time and watch them all of a sudden understand why they exist. We had an amazing experience this year where we went to a school to do an outreach. It was a Buddhist school. We actually were invited there to share anti-trafficking prevention information with the children. And we just said, hey, as long as we're there, can we tell the kids about Jesus? And the school principal was like, yeah, it's fine. You know, they're very open, I would say, within Thailand. And he's like, yeah, that's okay. So we had shared our prevention information, and then we were setting up for our gospel presentation. And we have a Bible school, a lot of students, and they were they do dramas and they sing and play games with the kids. So we were setting up for that, and the children, there's about 400 of them, they just would start to cry. Kids were crying, and this is, I mean, if it happened right now, it would feel weird too, but especially for Thailand, showing emotion in public is not something you do. And so for children just to start to cry, we were really taken aback, and it was large groups of them. And praise God, the head of our evangelism team, he just said, it's the presence of God. And we just stopped everything. We never set up. And we just went out and we broke the kids into small groups, and we just started to share the gospel with them. And hundreds of children accepted Jesus that day. We never, like I said, never did our presentation. And that, as we go through the things I'm going to share today, that's what I'm going to keep coming to, is that Jesus is moving. We just have to be attentive. We just have to listen. And then when he says, move, move. We had prepared, carried everything into the room, had a whole, this is how we're going to share the gospel. But then he said, nah, this is what we're going to do today. You know? And the amazing thing is, I mentor the pastor up in that area. It's a couple hours from where we are. And he has a church. It's a 25-person church, I'd say. And the building fits 25 people. And he said, the ones that want to, they can come to church Sunday. And not thinking, you know, it's a few kids. They just heard the gospel. Maybe a couple will come. But they ended up bringing busloads, and they had to do church outside. And then he since now has moved to doing a Saturday night service at the school. And teachers are now coming to the Lord through that, because they have to be there with the kids. It's a boarding school. And so the teachers are now coming to the Lord too. And so it's just incredible. Like I said, we see these numbers and we think, like, oh, that's great. That's exciting. But it's each person, right? It's each one. Each one matters. Each single person matters. We also, in the last couple of years, have gotten really involved with online gospel work. So, you know, if right now I asked you guys to pull your phones out and just say, look up, don't do it. Okay, but if I asked you to, it said, look up, just type in Christian testimony, right? Like thousands of things would pop up. You know, if we said, oh, find Christian music, you just type that in, boom, thousands of songs. So that's not true in the Thai language. And so we've just decided as a ministry like that, we're going to try to fill that gap. And so we built a studio on our campus, and we are constantly recording Thai Christian music, and then also testimonies, gospel presentations, and just flooding that onto all the social medias and onto YouTube, and just getting that out there. And we have several stories this year of somebody seeing something and then calling us and saying, explain this to me. And then it's cool because our media team, we've recruited all these great media people, and they spend hours on their computers, you know, loading this stuff, creating all of it. And then they're the ones getting these calls and then leading people to the Lord. So they're able to be a part of seeing, you know, this work. And so we had over 500,000 views on our gospel content in the last year. So the next thing I want to talk about is what we've been doing with anti-trafficking. So we really focus hard on prevention work. So we believe that on the front end of fighting trafficking is trying to educate people and to help them to be safe. And so last year we did 38 in-person events, as you can see, speaking to just short of 9,000 people, mostly children. And these are such important events because we are constantly seeing traffickers shift the way they do things, right? It's their business, you know, and so they are constantly trying to find ways to continue to make money off people. And I do apologize. I know these are not nice things to hear, but they're realities. And so we're constantly having to change. You know, the things that we taught 11, 12 years ago no longer are the content we can use. So our prevention team is always adapting and changing. As children come in, we interview them. How did they get into that situation? What happened to them? And then we are constantly creating curriculum and then getting that to as many people as we can. We spent a lot of time this year, and you can just, if you're writing down prayer requests, right, as we go through, if you're writing down prayer requests, the border of Myanmar and Thailand over the last, well, I mean, it's been a 50-year civil war, but over the last 10 years has been where most of the trafficking is happening, where they're getting children from. So we've just focused on that, both with our gospel work, with our, you know, bringing food and clothes and anything we can do to help the churches there. But we've gone there often for prevention, because what's happening are the children, that's where they're being recruited from. So like I spent a lot of weeks on the border this last year, but I spent a week strictly doing prevention work with our prevention team and going into schools and just trying to help the children to protect themselves. So rescue. So we've spoke, I think, 10 times this summer, and every time I get to this slide and I have like brace myself, because see, maybe talking about it's worse, I don't know, but we were able to see, not one, I haven't made it through one yet, we were able to rescue 33 children this year, and I think it's emotional, because just like when we talk about the gospel and waking up with hope, these are children that I've looked in the eye, I know their name, I know their story, and to know the same thing, that they wake up tomorrow with hope for their future, that they wake up feeling secure and safe. It's incredible, right? 15 of those children will be raised at Zoe. So when we rescue a child, they get brought in. They get brought into our short-term rescue center, cared for there until their court case is finished. And then if we can find a safe place for them, if they have safe family or there's somewhere else they can go, we do that. But if there's no one, they end up living with us. So this last year, 15 children have been moved to our long-term homes where the children are put into full-time families, and that's where they'll grow up. We also had seven, we call them prevention rescues, where it's children who we've heard about the danger of them being trafficked, but they've not yet been trafficked, and we get to them first and remove them before it happens. As I said, like each one of these is, you know, a child with a name and a story, and, you know, it's precious to be able to then see as they become the person that God created them to be. This last year, so again, just talking about how God moves. So the core of Zoe has always been prayer. So all of our staff, we all pray. It's built into our week. We pray every Wednesday night. The whole campus prays together for an hour. Within departments, we have, you know, like our child care staffs. They pray over all the children by name for 2 hours once a week. You know, we've always said like prayer is what we do, and that's the fuel for fighting human trafficking. But along with that, we try to learn every tool there is to take everything we can to try to find children. And our investigation team had just run into like a wall where they were just, they'd get a tip, they'd follow it up, and then the children wouldn't be there. They'd get a tip, we'd go investigate, the children would be there, we'd go back, they'd be moved. And this was going on for a while, where they just were running up against, they're like, we're just not finding children. And so the head of our investigation team, who's just this great young Thai guy, works hard, really intelligent, he was meeting with our leadership team, and he says, I'm gonna just pray. That's what he says out loud. And then we had the whole discussion about, like, we got to take the word just out of there, right? Like, I'm going to pray. And he goes, okay, yeah, I know. And so he said, I'm going to eat dinner, and then I'm going to pray until I can't stay awake anymore, and I'm just going to pray that God leads me to find children. So he does this one night. So the first night he does this, he falls asleep, and he has a dream of a building he's never seen. And it was a little unique. the style of the building. Wakes up the next day, and he's going on an investigation with local police in an area that he hasn't gone to. And as he's driving, he sees the building. And he's like, he tells us the story later. He's like, I couldn't say anything. I'm in the car with unbelieving Buddhists, police officers. I can't say, hey, God showed me that building last night. Can we stop? And so he just said, we got to go back. So we went back the next day, and it was a restaurant. But the back of the restaurant is when they would move children from one area to another is where they would keep them. And we were actually able to remove children that day. And I tell you guys that because, like I said, numbers are great. They're all great. But God is so great, right? He wants children in a safe place more than we do. His heart is for those children. And as an organization, it's our job to just sit before him and go, what next? What do we do next? And, yeah. It's just been exciting. So if you think about, rescuing a child, kind of that important last step is restoration. What these children have been through, they're going to need care. And so we have a campus up in the mountains, 35 acres, that's all dedicated to raising these children. And we've always looked at restoration as the whole picture of a child. So everything it takes to raise that child. And that, like I already brought up, families. Family's so important, right? So we put them in family units. Family is where we learn how to trust. It's where we learn how to forgive. It's where we learn how to deal with conflict correctly. It's where we have a safe place. And so family's really important to what we do. Counseling, we have on-site counselors. Many of our children in the last few years have come in with forced addiction, and so we've had to bring in addiction counselors. That's been something we've started in the last couple of years. Education, so important, for their future, for having hope for the future. So we have 8 full-time teachers. We're an accredited homeschool, but then some of our children grow off campus. I don't want to keep you guys here all day, so I'm not going to get into the whole education, but it's really important. And then vocational training, so important. And beyond just, again, giving them skills, but we've discovered and should have known, but that, when hands move, right, that's when our brains start to get free, right? And so for all of our children, just getting them doing activities where then they're able to start to process the trauma they've been through and begin to tell their story and deal with it and move on from it. So our vocational program, we do, we teach them baking, barista work. We do woodworking, welding, car maintenance. They learn hospitality, we have a fake hotel room that they learn how to get ready for the next day. We have a salon where they can learn how to cut hair and do nails. Sewing, weaving, those are the things that we get them doing. But in that, we've discovered that's when we disciple, right? And I think raising my own children, the same's been true, right? Like if I sit them down and look them in the eye and say, okay, tell me what's going on, you get some stuff. But if you go do something with them, you get all the stuff. And so we've discovered with our children that our vocational teachers can't just be great at their thing. They have to absolutely be in love with Jesus and good at their thing. And so one of my main roles at Zoe is our hiring process and finding the right people. And so, when I'm interviewing someone to teach our children how to make coffee, I want to make sure they know how to make coffee. But I need to know without a doubt that they are deeply in love with Jesus and that they are going to be able to, as a child processes, really disciple that child. So vocational training has been a huge part. We had a young lady who came in and was kind of anti everything we were doing. You know, like we have service every Friday night, and she would come and sit in the back corner facing the wall. She would come to Wednesday night prayer, and she would, you know, end up going, same thing, went to her little wall spot. She didn't want to talk about anything. But the barista teacher, she loved spending time with her. And they would, you know, as they were going through the class, this young lady really began to understand who Jesus was, and actually accepted Jesus during a barista class, and then has since been baptized. She's moved on, and she's working in a Christian coffee shop in the city. And so, yeah, I mean, I could keep going about restoration. It's what they eat. So, like, we grow all of our own vegetables. We grow all of our own fruit. We have a pig farm, a chicken farm. These children's bodies, a lot of times they're coming in and, you know, they're not being cared for. So we really have to make sure that we're giving them quality food so they can process their trauma. Physical activity, so important. So we have basketball courts, swimming pool, soccer fields. We have all those things. And we've seen over the last year that, and we know that the key to all of it is introducing them to Jesus. But we have to be so careful, right? Like these are children who haven't made choices. They haven't been able to decide anything. And so with the way they've learned to live, you could sit them down and go, "You're a Christian now." And many of them would say, "All right, I'm a Christian," right? But that's not how it works. We need them to decide for themselves. And so when they come, we just live it in front of them. All of our 140 Thai staff and our 15 missionaries just walk every day in front of them and live out our walk in front of them and wait for them to ask, "Hey, what's going on here?" This last year, we've had the most baptisms in a year that we've ever had. Praise God. And there's many testimonies I could keep sharing. But I do want to make sure I get everything in here. So it says up there that 22 children exited Zoe this past year. And so why that's exciting is that when a child exits Zoe, it's because they're ready to go. They're going to go to university. They're going to go work somewhere. They're going to go back to safe family. And so these are children who we've raised and are there prepared for the next step in their lives. So this is what your partnership, this is what our friendship has led to the last year. And we just can't thank you enough for that. And as a family, it's been a good year. There's so many great things. God, it just remains faithful through everything. But there has been hard times. And I want to just share I don't know how much longer I have. I you don't have to be honest. That's okay. I'm just going to talk till I'm done. So, but in a really hard time this year, we had a hard family issue. And in that time, I went to Psalm 121, which you can see the beginning there. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God, maker of heaven and earth, right? And I would read all of Psalm 121. I just decided, all right, I'm just going to read this every day. So I started to read it every day and just to remind myself where help comes from. And as I was doing that, there was also something going on at work, something at ministry that was difficult. And we were sitting talking about with the head of Zoe Thailand. Him and I were talking, and we were speaking in Thai. And he used a word, and I was like, "I don't know that word. What was that word?" And he's like, "It means help." And I was like, "Nah, that doesn't mean help." I'm like, "I know the word for help." And this always frustrates anybody who's learned another language. Whenever they have more than one word for something we only have one word for, super frustrating, you know? And so I was like, "Oh, there's two helps." And he's like, "Well, actually, there's kind of three, but yeah." He's like, "Yeah, there's two." And I was like, "Okay, well, explain it to me so I can use them correctly." And so the one I've been using for 11 years, he's like, "Yeah, that's like, you need to move your stuff from one place to another. You say, 'Can you help me?'" And I was like, "Yeah, that's the word help, you know?" He's like, "Or, you know, you need to go somewhere and you need a ride. You'd use that one." I was like, "Yeah, that's the word help, you know?" And I was like, "Well, what's that one?" And he's like, "It means like," and he thought about it for a while, and he's like full care. He's like, "We also use this word when we talk about fostering." And I guess I've never thought of the word help like that, right? Like the word help has always meant to me like, hey, I need a little help. You know, like, will you come help me move something? Will you, and being a good Midwesterner, I rarely ask for that either, right? I do everything myself, like, you know. But that's all help's ever meant to me. And as he explained the other Thai word, and he just said, you know, it's like, they're going to take care of all your needs. And I was like, oh, that's a good word, you know. I'm like, but yeah, it's never what I've thought of for help. And so I got curious personally, and I went and studied. And actually, the Hebrew word here is much more similar to that second Thai word. It's not the help that the way I use the word help in English. Actually, that word help here is much more of a, you know, where does my full care come from? Where am I fostered by God? And as I began to process that concept and just that idea of like, that's what God's saying here, is I got you in everything. And I've always read this and thought about this as, ooh, I have a problem, God, can you help? Ooh, I have a problem, God, can you help? Where God is saying, just like a child who needs to be cared for, right? I got all of it. I'm going to take care of all of it. And that feels different, right? That's a different kind. If you read that way, where he's saying like your financial, physical, mental, spiritual, your worries about this, your worries about that, your adult children, your little children, I'm gonna take care of all of it, right? What does that do? What does that do for us? It frees our hands, right? Like if someone's gonna take care of everything, now our hands are free. And I have a story that I've been telling for years, and I've probably told it in this church, and I apologize that I'm going to tell it again, but it's one of the most profound things that's happened to me with a child, and it connects to this verse, and that is, we brought in some young girls, and they, when they came in, they had been in the jungle, living in a drug camp. They were rescued together. They were between the ages of 6 and 8 years old, and they had lived pretty much on their own their whole lives. And when they got to us, they did not act like children. They acted like a little hunting group because that's how they had lived their whole lives. You wake up and you figure out how to get food until you go to bed at the end of the night. And so these girls, they got really good at stealing from the kitchen, hoarding when we'd give them food, stripping our fruit trees, and we don't know where they were putting them. They wouldn't play. They wouldn't interact with other children. They wouldn't imagine. They wouldn't create. They weren't 6 to 8 year olds because they thought, all I have to do is spend time today making sure that I get food. And we're feeding them like grown adults, big meals, and they just felt this need to care for themselves. And as a leadership team and their parent and the house parents who were caring for them, we just started to pray that they would take back their childhood, that they would take it back. And I was, we were praying for weeks, and I was actually teaching in our Bible school, which looks out at our big sport courts. And one of the little girls, she's, I don't know quite how to say it. You know when a kid's got that little like gleam in their eye, and it's cute, but you also know that they might like burn the house down. There's probably a couple of you in this room that have that little gleam in your eye. But she has that. She's adorable, but you're like, oh, I don't know what she's gonna do. So she comes bouncing down, and I can see her out the window of our Bible schoolroom, and she starts putting on a bike helmet. So right away, I'm like, if she thinks she needs a bike helmet, how big a tree is she going up, right? So I get scared for this child's safety. So I start texting a house parent to be like, hey, so-and-so's down here. Someone needs to get her before she hurts herself. And then I watch as she starts to try to blow bubbles and bike through them. And I just lost it. And, you know, as I've talked about, you try not to show emotion in Thailand. It couldn't help it. I was teaching on the book of Habakkuk, not, you know, usually don't cry from up front when you teach about the book of Habakkuk. And so I had to stop class, and I went out there and I blew the bubbles as she biked through them. And it was just so profound to see her now saying, my parents are going to feed me. I don't need to hunt anymore. I can just be a child. And that's what this help means. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. You don't have to try to accomplish it yourself, because God has your full care. And that frees your hands. And when your hands are free, you get to go serve and love other people. And for me this year, that was profound. I mean, we've given our lives to serving and loving other people, but I've also, along that way, tried to help myself. And to just realize, like, I need to be God's child. I need to allow myself just to be free, because he will care for me. So, I hope you guys hear that today. I hope God reminds you of that. And I hope whatever it is that's keeping you from getting on that bike and trying to bike through bubbles today, I hope that you hand it to God, not as just a, hey, could you help me, but as a, you have my full care, Lord. Yeah. So, we're going to be here. We want to talk to you guys. Please come to our table and spend time with us today. We have our prayer card, our newsletter. Please ask us questions. Jen has a couple. I shouldn't have started that sentence. Embroideries that she's made, if you guys want to look at those. So just come say hi. We still need partnership. We still need support. And we want to spend that time with you. And I just want to encourage you. Like, really lean into that full care this week, and then go and proclaim the gospel, right? Like, it's life becomes that simple when we accept his full care. So I'm going to close in prayer. Yeah? Okay. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time, being able to reflect on who you are, what you've done, what you'll continue to do in our lives. I just ask, Lord Jesus, for this church, that they do accept that full care that you give, and that they realize their hands are free to serve you. I thank you again for the opportunity to worship you today and just be together. And I pray for a week of proclaiming your name to this community around us, Lord. In your son's name, amen.